Good morning. I am so glad that you are here with us this morning. Thank you for joining us online. If you have your bulletins, go to your center page. There's a couple things I would like you to write down and remember as you go throughout this week. If you are online, there was a link for you to be able to download or print those off and follow along. Our nation is about to elect or re-elect our next leader. And for many believers, many people in our country, this week is either a affirming or really challenging week. We are going to see our prayers answered or sometimes our greatest concerns realized. And so we want to spend these next few weeks really talking about the greatness of God, the opportunities that are in front of us. We talked about some of the political environment that we were in these last few weeks. And now moving forward, we are going to be looking at reasons that we can be thankful, looking at what God is doing, who God really is in our world. And so I want to share with you, starting off, three ways that we get to respond back to God. And I hope you will see in your life and in your relationship with God how that really plays out. I hope that these things will be so simple and clear for you to understand. And I've entitled this series, as we go through November, this is going to be a series on gratitude or our appreciation, recognition of who God is. But I've entitled it, No, Thank You. And I want us to pay attention to the way that we use this word or this phrase, No, Thank You. No, thank you can mean a variety of different things, and especially as we think about our relationship with God. If I asked you, would you like a cold, day-old, leftover bologna sandwich? You might say, no, thank you. No, thank you in this case would be a polite decline. I don't really want that. Now, imagine for just a moment that you and your business partners, your co-workers, have just finished a big project, and one of them comes to you and says, Matt, you did such a great job. Thank you so much for all your help in this project. We really couldn't have done it without you. And I say, no, thank you, Bob. You really did a great job. I could say the same words, no, thank you, to the sandwich and be a decline, or I could say, no, thank you, Bob. You really did. And give the words of appreciation back to the one who really deserves it more. Think about it for just a moment. In terms of our relationship with God, how often have we been in a situation where maybe God was saying, I want to give you an opportunity. Let me put that in air quotes. I want to give you an opportunity. This is going to be a challenge, but it's going to open up a new world for you. This is going to be a great opportunity for you. And we sometimes, in our very limited understanding, we would say, God, no thank you. I decline. Thank you anyway, but no thank you. Or have we been in another situation in which we are getting the results, we are getting the praise, we are getting the accolades. Wow, this really worked out. Thank you so much for your hard work. Thank you for your efforts. And we say, no, thank you, God, for all that you've done. Thank you for the resources. Thank you for the opportunities. Thank you for aligning all these people in these places for our work, and we give the glory back to God. Now, it's very clear which one we want to be in, right? I'm not seeing any heads move, so let me ask that question again. It's very clear which category we want to be in, but there's also a third category of no thank you. And maybe you've experienced this in your own life, where you've gone out of your way, you've done something significant for someone else, maybe someone that didn't even ask, or maybe they won't even notice, but you're wanting, as you finish this project, as you finish this service, as you do this task, as you walk away, you would love to hear somebody just say, thank you, but you get no thank you. I mean, like, wait a minute, not even a word of appreciation? There's no thank you in this situation? You didn't even recognize anything that I did? It's just a nothing? It's just a blank? It's quiet? Boy. Put that back into perspective of our relationship with God. How many times has God blessed us with life, with health, with answers to our prayers, with so many things? Amen? And our response is this third one of, I'm moving on to the next request. I'm moving on to the next thing that I need to ask God for, and we don't even give thanks. Over the next few weeks, I really want to draw our attention to this idea that we are to be individuals who really give thanks, who recognize the great blessings that are in our lives. And while we are in a pandemic, while we are in an election cycle, while we may not get the results that we are looking for this week, I want to draw our attention to something good, something positive, something great, and that is our Lord, for He is good. Amen? I pray that that song that we just saying, maybe that's a new one for us. There was a discussion on Facebook. Was that really a new song? Maybe that's a reminder of an old song for some of us. And I hope it'll just play through our minds this week, for God is good. What could we be thankful for during a pandemic? I asked a couple friends this week, what would they say? What are some things that you're thankful for? Ironically, thankful for in the midst of a pandemic. Glenn, one of our elders, wrote me and said, look, I was blessed to be in Nashville when my granddaughter was born and was able to spend the first few weeks of her life with her. And the arrangements that were made, all because the pandemic allowed me to spend 6 weeks of quality time with both daughters and son-in-laws that would never have spent in 1 year under normal conditions. I'm very thankful that the unusual circumstances of the pandemic allowed the birth of my granddaughter to be such an extraordinary, special time for my family. I wonder, in the midst of this situation, of the difficulties and challenges that we really do have, is there something that you can be thankful for? Are there words and grace that you can give back to God as a blessing, as a recognition? Chuck, another one of our elders, called me and said, look, a few months ago, we were supposed to have this family beach retreat. My kids and grandkids were all supposed to come, and we were going to be spending some time out at the beach, and it was going to be a lovely, lovely time together. But just right before that, one family's schedule changed, and they weren't going to be able to make it. And so Chuck ended up at the beach by himself for a few days, and through that week, there was supposed to be one of the granddaughters was having a birthday. And just at the last minute, the day before the schedule changed, and they were able to come up for that day. And so they had this beautiful birthday family time. It wasn't quite the length of time, but it was a beautiful day together. And they enjoyed their time. The family had to return home that evening. And Chuck stayed there at the beach all by himself. And as he sat there in the quietness, now realizing the variety of changes that have taken place to their week, he thought, I don't want to stay here by myself anymore. And so late in the evening, he packed up and he left and he went home. He said, I'm so very thankful for all those things that happened, because had it been normal, I would have been at the beach several hours away with my family and granddaughters and all this stuff going on. And I would have missed the call, because that next morning, his mother fell, broke her leg. And they needed a family member to come and sit with Dad. And Chuck was just a few minutes away. He says, I'm so very thankful for that moment. In happy times, praise God. In difficult times, seek God. In quiet times, worship God. In painful times, trust God. But in every time, give thanks to God. Someone once said that the worst time for an atheist is when he is grateful and there is no one to thank. I want us to pay attention to the greatness of our God, the opportunities that are around us. Open your Bibles to Psalms chapter 8. And I want us to see what the psalmist writes as a word of praise, of thanks back to God, and for the greatness of who He is. Psalms chapter 8, I got a few verses on the screen, so if you don't have your Bible, you can look at those, but I'm going to be reading the chapter in its entirety. Psalms chapter 8 gives great praise to who God is. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against the enemies to silence the foes and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You, God, have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands and put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What do you have to give thanks to the Lord for at this time? Our God is a great God, amen? And our God is a God who does not change. And therefore, our reasons to extol His praise, to give thanks to Him today, is the same as it's always been. If we will lift up our eyes and see who He really is, our thanks will continue to roll off our lips. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19, there's a story of Jesus as He intersects with 10 lepers. And you might remember this story as these lepers, they are outcasts, as they're living in this situation in which they're unallowed, they're not allowed to come into the community. I mean, it's kind of like their own little mini pandemic. They're unwelcomed in the variety of circumstances, of economics, of social gatherings. And so when anybody comes near them, they have to shout, unclean, unclean, stay away, or then they have to retreat. And here comes Jesus and His large gathering, and they recognize the name. They recognize what's going on. And so these 10 lepers come to Jesus, and they ask for a special blessing. Lord, please heal us. Jesus sends them on their way, going back to the priest to be declared clean. And as they are running back into the city for this special moment, these 10 lepers begin to notice that their leprosy is taken from them. And then one stops in his tracks. And he turns back, and you remember the story. He comes to say thank you to the man who just healed him. And Jesus, knowing, he says, wasn't there a few others that were with you? Why is it only you that's returning? And as Jesus has this conversation in Luke chapter 17, verse 19, he says to them, "Then rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Not only was he healed, his faith had made him well. Jesus would say the same thing to the paralyzed man, "Rise, your sins are forgiven." Jesus takes care of inside and outside. And this great story of the 10 lepers reminds us of the opportunity that we have to give thanks for so many things. That far, far too often, we are in that third category of response to Jesus, response to our Lord, response to our Heavenly Father, as we give no thank yous in response. Today, I want to remind us that we are people, that we are called to be like Christ. And Christ reminds us that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, that doesn't fit within our earthly mental mind. It doesn't make sense. When I give, that's a loss. When I get, that's a gain. And so when Jesus says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, it doesn't quite make sense. But wait, yet we see it played out in His life. Time and time again, He is the ultimate giver, isn't He? He's the one who gives so sacrificially from the very beginning, as He lowers Himself from His place in heaven to become here on earth like us, as He becomes not just like us, but becomes a servant, not just a servant, but a servant even unto death, not even in death, but in a humiliating death, so that God would lift Him up. We see that so great in Christ's story. But in my story, keep remembering, it's more blessed to get than it is to give. And I want to be a Christ follower, but I don't want to follow Christ in all these ways. I want to remind us, as we just participated in this communion service, as we said to one another that we really do want to be Christ followers, we want to pattern our lives after Him, I want to share with you three principles that will help us re-engage and understand this idea that it is more blessed to give, that we want to live this way. Number one, you are blessed when you give from what God first gave to you. God has given us so many things, amen? So many times God has blessed us with life, with health, with avoiding some circumstances, with driving us through difficult situations, when God gives us the protection, when God gives us the words, when God gives us so many things in life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul reminds those believers that God prepares us, God stores up these blessings in our lives so that we can give to others. And when we give to others, then they will give praise to God for the gifts that we've given, for the things that God has given first to us. And Paul would say that's an indescribable gift. In a couple weeks, Kyle is going to be speaking on this topic a little bit more. I'm going to take a week off and I'm going to go down to Harding and just spend a week in the library and really be praying over kind of the next set of lessons and what we're going to be looking at in the coming year, spending some time preparing my mind for what is coming. I remember, I think it was late in February or March, we had an elder and staff meeting and I sat down with the elders and I said, here's some of the topics that I would like to be talking about as we go through the spring and summer, maybe getting into the fall. And a week or two later, we were on the phone, we were canceling our services, we were going fully online, and it totally changed our outlook. And I never went back to that outline. I never went back to those topics because every time I did, it just didn't fit with where we currently are. And so I want to spend some time praying over it and really thinking and processing through what we need and what direction we are going to be moving towards in our studies and in our classes, Lord willing, as things continue to open up. So I'm so thankful that Kyle will get an opportunity to speak about this indescribable gift. Number two, we are blessed when we give our first fruits. This is the things that we first receive. Now again, I'm going to try to be transparent because in my life, there is an income, there is a result that happens. In the Old Testament, it's talking about the fruit or the crop that we reap. And so there's this harvest time. And so many people, fingers pointing at me, so many people, as we receive, our first thought is, okay, let me take care of these things. Let me set aside some time for, some money for, some resources for my desires, my wishes. And if there is anything left, then as God gives me the opportunities, I will be happy to participate in those. Brothers and sisters, that's not the way that God has called us to live. He calls us to live by giving these first fruits, this first from the very beginning. So when we are blessed financially, we are going to give that to our local congregation or to the local works that we're a part of. As we are blessed with time and resources, we are going to give our time, we are going to give our resources first. And we wonder, then what about at the end? We know that God will take care of all of these other things when we seek first His kingdom, don't we? But so often we get that turned around. Today, I want to remind us that we give of our first fruits. And last but not least, we are blessed when we give unequally. Sometimes it seems like we are going to be the loser when we give. We want it to be fair. We want it to be equal. We want it to be the same. So when my wife will say, "Will you scratch my back?" I'll say, "Well, will you scratch my back first?" If there's a task to be done, then if someone will do their part, then I will do my part, and then it's fair. But I want to challenge us that we should give unequally as Christ. Jesus says, if somebody asks you to go with them a mile, what does He say? Go with them two. I want to challenge us today as we think about who we really are, that we are going to pattern our life after Christ, and we are going to give unequally. We are going to give graciously. Isn't that really what God has called us to be? We are going to really look at who Jesus is and pattern our life after Him. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His rising." I want to know Christ and the power of His rising. Wouldn't you love to have been there at the tomb when it opens and you see Jesus come out anew and alive? Wouldn't you love to be there as Jesus is ascending into heaven? Wouldn't you love to have your world transformed and all the things that you live and believe and know, the limitations, are just destroyed as he comes up out of that grave or as he comes up into the sky? I want to know Christ and the power of his rising. But listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his rising, to share in his suffering, conform to his death, when I pour out my life to be filled with his spirit. Joy follows suffering and life follows death. God calls us to a different way of living. And in this week, I want to challenge us, instead of looking at all the things we wish would happen politically, instead of thinking about all the things that we wish would happen in our social, in our pandemic moments, that we would look at all the great things that God really is doing, and we would give unconditionally, we would give unequally, and we would give, and we would give, and we would give. And as we give thanks, it requires two things. Sometimes as a speaker, I can't find the right words, and so I have to create these words. Forgive me if they don't fit grammatically, if they don't fit within your experience, but I would like for you to think about these two ideas. Thankfulness. To give thanks, we must have a mind of thinking, to restore, to understand, to process, to see really what is going on. There's an old Anglo-Saxon word that the word thankful really comes to mean think full of the memories, really, as it goes. In many old churches in England, you will find this inscription, think and thank. A.W. Tozer says, a thankful heart cannot be cynical. There were two college friends. They moved into this apartment one time, and in their new environment, they started to notice this seemingly homeless individual. Over the course of time, this homeless individual would interact with them and try to sell some old fruit or some old vegetables, and they would do their best just to give him a little bit of money. Again, time goes on, and little by little, they begin to invest in this man and invite him into their home. They would share a meal. They would share their life and get to know him a little bit more, and realizing really what he was needing. And so one day, these two college friends decided, we are going to get a care package. We're going to get a bag. And let's put some shoes and some socks. Let's put some clothes in there. Let's put some food in there. And we'll leave that near where he's at, and that'll be a blessing to him. The next day, this homeless individual came back to their home, and he was so excited. He started to share about this bag that he had found, this blessing of shoes and clothes and food. And the two college friends were like, man, that's great. We're so happy for you. And the homeless individual says, but you don't even know the best part. And they're like, the best part? What? He said, just yesterday, I found some people who could really use this stuff. I want us to be individuals who are processing in our life not only the things that we're receiving, but thinking about the opportunities that are in front of us to bless and to give. I want us to be givingfulness, demonstrating this idea that we are full of giving. If you can have thankfulness, then you can have thinkfulness. If you can have thankfulness, then you can have givingfulness. I want us to live in that mindset where we are thinking, where we are giving, where we are participating in life, regardless of the circumstances. I read of a minister in Germany. This was back in 1636. It says he had buried nearly 5,000 of his church members, of their family and friends, in 1 year. This was back during the 30-year war, or so we now call it. He sat down with his family one night and he wrote these words of thanks for his family and for his church members, despite all that they were going through. He said, now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath led us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Give thanks, brothers and sisters. Give thanks like our Lord and Savior gave and served and blessed. Give thanks like our Lord, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. God uses difficult times, difficult circumstances, to let his people shine bright in a dark world. If there's anything that we can do to encourage you, to help you in this time, I know it is difficult. Our elders are standing by and they would love to counsel and to pray with you. If there's anything that we can do, our office is open throughout the week. I would love for you to come by and let's spend some time in prayer and in conversation. If there is anything that we can do as we continue on in this journey together, to find our words of thankfulness, not to say no thank you to the blessings of God, but to say no thank you for the blessings that God has given to us. Let's stand together and sing.
Lord, take my life. May